The years between the two world wars are often called the Golden Age of Mysteries. One of the most endearingly popular writers of that era was Dorothy L. Sayers, best known for her Lord Peter Wimsey mysteries. They were adapted for television in the 1970s by the BBC and shown on PBS. The first two of the mysteries have just been released on a new DVD, the Lord Peter Wimsey Collection, Set 1. Our critic at large, John Powers, has seen them, and they got him thinking about what makes these old-fashioned English mystery stories so eternally appealing.
I've always been addicted to mystery novels. When I was growing up, I'd spend the summer plowing through English ones with exotic weapons, murders in locked rooms, eccentric detectives, and neatly calibrated twists. You know, the ones that blow your mind when it turns out that the postman did it. One of my favorites was Dorothy L. Sayers. Although her plots weren't the cleverest, her hero, Lord Peter Wimsey, was. An amateur sleuth whose genius lay hidden beneath his whimsical upper-crust patois. Back in the early 1970s, the BBC turned her crime novels into a series of TV shows, starring Ian Carmichael as Lord Peter. When they were shown here on Masterpiece Theatre, they became such a huge hit that they led PBS to create the series Mystery, which has run for the last 30 years. The first two episodes, Clouds of Witness and The Unpleasantness at the Bologna Club, are just out on DVD. And watching them now is like entering a nostalgic time warp. The first episode, Clouds of Witness, is typical. It begins at the Wimsey family's shooting lodge in Yorkshire. The fiancée of Lord Peter's sister, Mary, has been found shot dead in the night, and the police accuse Lord Peter's grumpy brother, Gerald, who refuses to say what he was up to at the time of the crime. Things look bad until Lord Peter comes back from the continent along with his trusty manservant, Bunter, slyly played by Glyn Houston. He begins examining the case and questioning potential suspects, all of whom seem to have secrets galore. Here, Lord Peter has just found what seems to be a key clue, a jeweled brooch shaped like a cat. He ruminates on his discovery with his friend and foil, Detective Inspector Parker.
You know, I've always thought those obliging criminals who strewed their tracks with articles of personal adornment were an invention of detective fiction for the benefit of the author.
Well, live and learn, my dear fellow. After all, you haven't been doing this job very long, have you?
The merest amateur, I confess, whereas you, as a professional...
Take a fatherly interest in your ambition. So, come on, you found it. What are your deductions?
Well, it's a charm. The sort of thing a woman wears as a brooch. Gold satin, all diamonds with... two emerald eyes. Parker stones, too. Your turn, old Parker Bird.
When I first popped Clouds of Witness into my DVD player, I wondered if it was still enjoyable. After all, the Beeb's production values weren't the greatest back then. But the series sucks you into its 1920s setting with a brand of leisurely storytelling you no longer see on TV. And it's carried by Carmichael's Lord Peter. Although a bit too old and fleshy for the part, this canny old actor knows exactly how to play Wimsey, a man who can seem as silly as Bertie Wooster, but is actually as shrewd as Jeeves. Of course, such a character is the purest confection, which is why such cozy English detective stories are mocked by literary critics and by fans of the hard-boiled crime novel. In fact, way back in the 1940s, Raymond Chandler cracked that detective writers needed to take murder away from the upper classes, the weekend house party, and the vicar's rose garden, and give it back to the people who are really good at it. Maybe so. There is something flagrantly artificial about the fictional world created by Sayers or Agatha Christie or Michael Innes. A world of country houses, loyal retainers, and murder schemes so baroque that no one would actually try to pull them off. That said, such old-school British mysteries are hardly alone in stylizing reality. There's something pretty darn artificial about Chandler's own crime novels, whose hero, Philip Marlowe, is a sentimentalized knight-errant, or in a grayer vein, about the police procedurals of Henning Mankell, in which every single crime is ripe with social meaning. And really, what could be more artificial than Elmore Leonard's dialogue, where every line just sings? The fact is, lack of realism isn't the failing of old-fashioned crime stories. It's their point. The true pleasure of the Wimsey mysteries isn't simply that they let us sink into a romanticized 20s England. It's that they take us outside the chaotic swirl of modern society, where murder is a symptom of intractable disorder. They carry us to a fantasy land so intrinsically sedate and orderly, so conservative, that murder is an aberration. All Wimsey needs to do is follow the clues and find the culprit. And once he's done this, social order is restored. You can call such plotting naked wish fulfillment, if you like. Yet that doesn't diminish its power. You see, like nearly all the mysteries in this tradition, the Lord Peter stories satisfy something in the human psyche that neither bullying nor education can erase. They offer us a fantasy of perfect closure, a world where even bloody murder is little more than a brain teaser that can and will be solved.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue magazine. You can find his reviews and columns on Vogue.com.